The last new car I bought was back in 1989. But, you know, you buy that new car, and when you get it, it smells nice. It looks nice. All the paint is nice and shiny, and you go, and you start driving that car. I have a bunch of co-workers that have bought new cars. You get in the car, you have that new car smell. You know, I went out and I got that new car smell thing that you can spray in your car. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. See, you can be new. But what happens with a car? After a period of time, typically the day the warranty runs out, or the mileage, the mile over the warranty, things start breaking. And then what happens? That joy of that new car smell's gone, and you go, sometimes you even say, why did I even buy this car in the first place? Been there? Buy a new house. Same thing. It's exciting to go in a new house. It's all nice and clean. Everything's been corrected. Maybe you had new construction. You go in there and you find this, and then after a time, things start happening, don't they? Things start leaking. Things start breaking. And all of a sudden, the joy of having a new house kind of maybe goes away. You might have a new friend, and you start a new relationship with someone. Or get into a marriage, and you have a honeymoon period. And everything's happy, and everybody's happy, and then all of a sudden, over time, things start happening. And the joy of the relationship goes away. And you might even say, I don't even know why I'm friends with you in the first place. Ever said that? Ever thought that? Come on, we all have, right? So we get this new thing, and then the joy goes away. We looked and we saw that if any man but be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 51. Psalm chapter 51. Boy, the moment you got saved, you experienced the joy of salvation. And this morning I want to ask you from a spiritual perspective, are you as happy today in Christ? Is your spiritual life as fulfilled as it was the day that you got saved? We should be closer to Christ. We should be more like Him. We should be happier. We should have more joy. But I tell you what, over the last several months, over circumstances can come and Satan can come in and we could get broken spiritually. And we need God to fix us. Or maybe we come up and we need to come up and we get a reset point where we need to kind of start over and start forward from there. So we're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 51 verses 1 through 12 today. And the message is the joy of salvation. In our text, David is writing he's doing a prayer. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out thy transgressions. David is crying out for mercy here. Mercy is not getting the punishment that we deserve. And so David is crying out here. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. You know what God wants for your life? He wants verse 6. He wants truth in your inward parts. He doesn't want to be superficial. He wants you to live in truth. Amen. And in the hidden parts, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we need to have this relationship. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Kind of seems like David right now is not hearing much joy and gladness, or he wouldn't have said this in his prayer. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Because David in his prayer has come face to face with God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Oh, do you yearn to be in God's presence? That should be our desire. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And then we'll concentrate on this last verse. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. See, as we get into this, what we see here is that Psalm 51 is actually a psalm of confession. When we sin against God and man, we need to come in God's presence and we need to confess our sins. We need to confess our faults one to another and we can be healed. See, this psalm gives us a inside view of a man who is trying to get right with God. And folks, I would tell you this. Getting right to God is coming to God on His terms, not your terms.
Right.
And so we see this view of a man getting right with God. And when we know we're so crafty in our lives, we try to put up facades and put up shields and put up masks to show that we're not really as bad. But you can't do that with God. Because the Word of God pierces the heart and divides everything and divides the truth from the error. You can't hide anything from God, no matter where you go. Ask Jonah. He went about as far away as you go, and he still found God there. So this is a psalm of confession. It's a view of a man getting right with God. It's the bearing of a man's heart after failure. And you know, we all fail. But you know, with God, we need to be who we are. Because God knows us as who we are. But the second thing is this is a psalm of the king. This is David. He's the king. He's doing this. He is the leader. He's a leader politically. And folks, we need to pray for our nation. There have been a lot of things and a lot more goofy things happening this last week. It's sad. It's really sad. People need to pray to God. And he was a leader politically. He was a leader spiritually. He even was a leader musically. So he and David had something in common.
Amen.
Okay? But he led the entire congregation in rejoicing after their victories over their enemies. But you know, it's a psalm in which we can all identify with because we've all failed. You know, sometimes we fail and we don't do right and we think we can never recover. We can never be reset. We can never be fixed. But God is a great God. And so we can always come back to Him. And I want to give you that hope. And I want to give you that promise. You can always come back to God. You can always get right with Him while you're here. Once you die, it's too late. And you better be right with God. See, in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, we studied this. For a just man falleth seven times and what? Riseth up again. There are too many Christians that live in defeat. There are too many people that live in discouragement because I can't do this. No, you can't. But with God, all things are what? Possible.
Amen.
For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but a wicked man shall fall into mischief. If you don't turn from doing the wrong thing, you'll continue to do the wrong thing.
Right.
You can't look good on the outside and say all the right things and then be evil on the inside and not fail to do wrong things. You will do them. Positive mind brings positive things. A negative mind brings negative things. So we see here an introduction. It's a psalm of confession. It's a psalm of the king. And the point is that we can get right with God. And I want you, if you're defeated today, if you're struggling today, pick yourself up with God. Get right with Him today. So if you look at this issue of restore, and I want to focus on this word restore, and I want to point out 3 things about what this word implies. The first thing is that David had known the joy of salvation. Restore indicates that he possessed it before. If any man be in Christ, he's what? New creature. Old things passed away. He quickens our dead spirit with His Holy Spirit and takes us from death to life, from darkness to light. See, maybe this morning, your relationship with God, your joy is not the way it was when you were first saved, when you first believed. If you never believed, you can't have the joy anyway, because it's the joy of salvation. And here's the thing, we often misquote this verse. It's not restore the joy of my salvation, because we can't get salvation in ourselves.
That's right.
It's restore the joy of thy salvation. So this issue here is this restore indicates that he had possessed it before. Now I want to give you 4 tests to see if you still have the joy of salvation in your life. We can look at the early Psalms and we can see the joy that David had in his relationship with God. Early, the truth in the Psalms reveals that he had this joy of salvation. See, first of all, the joy of salvation is expressed in our perspective. In Psalm 9:1, it says, I will praise thee, O Lord. And I want everybody to read the next phrase. With my whole heart. See, that's an issue of perspective. We have to totally surrender to God. Okay? And it says, I will show forth all thy marvelous works. See, God said this. Christ said this. He said, the 2 things that you should do to live for God, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. If you don't have the joy of yourself, of thy salvation, then your heart is not wholly dedicated to God. That's the first test of that. So if you've lost the joy, it's not God's fault. It's our fault of not giving our heart to Him. So the joy of salvation is expressed in perspective. We have to do all. You just can't keep back what you want and give God what you want to give Him. It doesn't work that way. He says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works, even the simplest ones. You know, this morning I said, this weather is terrible. Got here. You praise your car, it had a heater. Hope it had a heater. You know, praise that you didn't have a flat tire and had to change it in the rain. That's a good thing. This morning I got all green lights. I praise God for that. It doesn't happen that often. See, we need to praise God in all things.
Right.
All things. Just not the big things, but even the little things. So the joy of salvation expressed in perspective. The joy of salvation is experienced in power. See, in Psalm chapter 21, verse 1, it says, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. See, the issue is that the king shall have what? Joy in whose strength? His strength? Nope. In God's strength. And folks, I tell you what, if you don't put God in perspective properly in your life, you will not have His power work in your life. And if you don't experience God's power in your life, you won't have the joy that you could possibly have. So my question my second question this morning is, are you experiencing God's power in your life? Are you doing things that you were not doing before? Are you doing things that you didn't think you were capable of even doing? Are you serving God with all of your heart? Okay. The king shall what? Joy in thy strength, O Lord. And not only have some joy, but with God everything is exceeding or abundant or abounding or thing like that. Greatly shall he rejoice. So, do you have the truth of your joy of your salvation in your perspective? Do you have the truth of the joy of your salvation in power? Do you have the truth of the joy of salvation is also experienced in peace? You know, when things get tough, how do you react? Do you have a peace that passeth understanding? People say, how do you do this? Or do we just act, let's say, it's not right, it's not fair, we complain against God like Jonah did? See, in Psalm chapter 23, verse 5, a very familiar psalm. Here is David at a dark time in his life. And we're going through a dark time in our lives too. But he says this. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. No matter what's going on in your life, God's got a table prepared for you.
Amen.
And you can come to that table. We sing the song, come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. And then not only that, he says, thou anointest my head with oil. Yesterday, I was out on the parking lot just waiting for people to pray with them. And it was an encouragement to me because people came up to me and said, you know something? In this dark time, he says, I can see that sign. I can see that there's someone that really cares and that God's always there.
Amen.
And see, what we need to understand is that we need to encourage one another. And so in the midst of the dark times of David's life, God says, he says, anointing my head with oil. Set him apart for service. Boy, you know, when you know you got someone got your back, it gives you the courage to go on. God's got your back, folks.
Amen.
God's got your back. And then my cup runneth over. You know, we should not forget all of his benefits, as it says in the psalm. We should always be understanding that God will give, and it's going to be pressed down and what? Running over. Should you have the peace of God in your life right now? I guarantee you, if you don't have peace, you have no joy. If you don't have power, you have no joy. If you don't have the proper perspective, you don't have the joy of your salvation, of thy salvation there. And then lastly, the joy of salvation is expressed in proclamation. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at how many times?
All times.
All times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'll tell you what, folks. When something goes good in your life, you'll get on Facebook, you'll text, you'll call, and you'll say, look at what good things happened in my life. This ain't happened to me. Because what? We want to share good news. See, we have the best news possible. We have salvation. We have thy salvation. And when you're happy about something, you're going to talk about it. And so the issue here is, as he says, I will bless the Lord at what? All times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Oh, folks. David said all these things. This is David's writings here. So he did know the joy of salvation. You know, we all have good reason for joy this morning. If you have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, if you know you die today, you go to heaven, you have the joy of forgiveness. Amen. He takes our sins and puts them as far away as the east is from the west, hides them in the depths of the deepest sea to be remembered no more. Then if God doesn't remember, you shouldn't remember either. See, that's how you get bitter. That's how your joy is stolen. When you start thinking on things that you shouldn't be thinking on anymore. See, he had good reason for joy because he had the assurance of heaven. You know, that gives us hope. You know, Paul says, I don't think that this present suffering that I'm in will ever compare to the glory that I won't experience. And that gave him peace because he knew God's power and he had the proper perspective and he constantly proclaimed God's word and his salvation and he had joy because he had the assurance of heaven. And then lastly, the thing we ought to be happy for is that the joy of finding the answer to life. You know, we were created on this earth for one purpose. And that purpose is to glorify God. He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. So that no one should perish, but that all could come to repentance. That all could have everlasting life. My Bible tells me that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He has no pleasure, He has no joy in a defeatist Christian. You know, think about this. When God looks down at us, He sees all the things. And think about Job. In the beginning of Job, it says, have you considered my servant Job? When God looks down, does He see someone that has joy in their life? See, God said, I'll give you my joy and it'll be full. It'll be unspeakable. Or when He looks down in our lives and he sees the inner parts of our heart, He shakes His head. He says, you're just missing it. You're missing out of all these things that I have for you. Oh, folks, we need to understand that the joy that we got when we got saved is still available today if we come back to it. Hit that reset button. Yes. Yes, today I want to reset. I want to have the joy of thy salvation back. This joy is available through the gospel. In Romans chapter 5, verse 11, it says, And not only so, but we also what? Joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. See, Christ paid our sin debt on the cross. He didn't have to do that, but for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, suffering the shame. He did that for us. What are we doing for Him? Amen. What are we doing for Him? In John chapter 15, verse 11, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. See, here's another thing about this restore word. Here's a word like this, remain in you. That means what? That means we can lose it. That means we could just be just like David. That means that we can fail. But he says that my joy may remain in you and that your joy might be full. See, it is a matter of perspective. It is a matter of power. It is a matter of peace. It is a matter of proclamation. See, David knew that he had it because he now knows he doesn't have it anymore. And so that's the second point. David had lost the joy of his salvation. See, David, restore here indicates that he doesn't have it right now. And maybe some of you here just don't feel as Christian as you did before. Or as faithful as you did before. Hit the reset button. Let Him fix you with gold. Let Him put all the pieces back together. See, David has a lot of company. You know, many of us are filled with gloom who were once filled with glory. Many of us are burdened who were once blessed. Many of us are sour when we were once filled with song. Many of us are pessimistic, and there's a lot of pessimistic people down out there today. When there was once was praising. See, when you lose the joy of thy salvation, then you lose your perspective. The nation of Israel lost their perspective when they turned away from God, and God is sending the prophets. And in the book of Jeremiah, it talks about how the people were looking at the word of God and the commandment of God, and they said, it is a burden. And here's another test. You lose the joy of thy salvation when you don't want to come to church anymore. You lose the joy of thy salvation when you don't want to do what God tells you to do in His Word. You lose the joy of thy salvation when you don't do His will.
Right.
And say, I want to do it my way. I'm tired of all this stuff because it's just too constraining. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 33, the prophet has been empowered by God to go speak to the people and say this. It says, and when this people or the prophet or priest, see, it could be in the lay men of the church, or it could be in the leadership of the church. No one is immune to this. David was not immune to this. Yes, this message is for you. This message is for everyone that can hear this message today. It's for us. And when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? See, Jesus, who is God in the flesh, said this. Come unto me, all ye who are labor and are heavy burdened, and I will what? Give you rest. Come and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But see, they got the perspective. Oh, it's just God. I just have to go do this all the time. He says, and when this people or prophets or priests shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? God doesn't want that. He wants us to have joy unspeakable. He wants to have life abundant. He wants to have joy to the full. He wants to have all these things. He wants your blessing to overflow. What burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. See, when you don't have the joy of thy salvation, you're turning yourself away from the presence of God. He's still there. But you don't have that fellowship. You don't have that relationship. Now, what robs joy? Sin does. And David, in his story of his sin, if you know the little, you read the little thing in front of this, is this when he was confronted about his sin with Bathsheba. Let's talk about David's sin with Bathsheba just a little bit here. You know why David was available to sin? Because he wasn't in the place that he was supposed to be in the first place. He was a king, he was supposed to go out and fight the battles, and he was back home. See, the Bible says this, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he's not in the right place. He's at the wrong time. And when you're not doing what God wants, you have too much idle time on your hands. He just happens to be up on the day. He just happens to go down there and look down on Bathsheba. Oh, that's nice. If you see something, don't look back. Because God doesn't tempt you with sin. You tempt yourself with sin. When you just keep on looking and you're drawing away your own lust and what? Enticed. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And sin, it just doesn't start out. It starts off with a little look and then all of a sudden he takes her and all of a sudden she's pregnant. All violation of God's law. Because he wasn't in the right place. He wasn't in the presence of God. And then what did he do? Sin tried. Well, I'm okay. I'm okay. We'll just cover this up. I'll bring Uriah back. I'll get him drunk. He'd have relationships. It'd be... No one will know. God knows. God knows. How do you think his joy was when he's doing all this plotting? spending all of his time plotting how to get around this sin instead of serving God. And then, that didn't work. So sin, when it's finished, bringing forth death. In this case, it brought forth Uriah's death. And now he's okay. I can marry her now because he's dead. That was not the way it was supposed to work. Don't think that you'd be so clever you can outsmart God.
That's right.
As they say, the chickens will come home to roost. Be sure your sin will find you out. Whatsoever you sow, you shall also what? Reap. And then Nathan comes and says, that child's going to die. You sinned in front of God and the whole nation. He's the leader. He should have known better. Folks, we're God's chosen people. We should know better.
Right.
We should know better. So we see David had known the joy of salvation. His sin with Bathsheba had lost the joy of his salvation and caused judgment of God, because we could see this in the psalm. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. See, he's under the judgment of God. Hebrews talks about the same thing. So David had lost the joy of his salvation, but see, David longed to have the joy of his salvation restored. When you have that new car and it goes broken, it gets broken, what do? You do every effort to get it fixed. When you have that new house and you have a leak through the ceiling and water's dripping through into your living room from your bathroom above, you don't live there and say, oh, that's a leak, and just sit there and let the thing leaking, 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 leaking. You go get it fixed. Folks, when there's sin in our life and we know it breaks the joy of thy salvation, we need to do something about it.
Right.
We need to want to do something about it. And I fear today there's too many people that call themselves Christians that don't want to get right with God.
That's right.
They don't want to live holy lives.
Right.
They don't want to be separate. They want to ignore God's word and ignore God's will. See, restore here was part of his prayer to get back what he had lost. See, David prays for his joy to come back again. He wanted to. Now, give you a choice. You want to live in joy, or you want to live in misery? How many vote for joy? Raise your hand. Okay? Good. Do you want to live in defeat, or do you want to live in victory? Who wants to live in victory? Raise your hand.
Amen.
Everybody's hand should be up, right? Why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? See, we need to understand that David prays for his joy to come back again. In Luke chapter 15 verse 7, it says, I say unto you. See, we need to understand God's perspective. He says that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. You know, God's waiting for us to have our joy of thy salvation restored today. He's looking down. He says, will you do it? Will you get right? Will you get up and do this? What's the road back? The road back is a road of remembering. See, he says here early, he says, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. He had come to a point, he says, I can't run anymore. I can't hide anymore. I can't cover this up anymore. I've got to come clean. Folks, we need to come clean to God today.
Amen.
So it's the road of remembering. It's the road of confession. In verse 4, he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that you might be justified, that you're right and I'm wrong. You know, it's hard to say that anymore, isn't it? I'm wrong. So, it's a road of confession. He says, cleanse me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. It's the road of faith. See, we need to understand that God will do what He says He does. But some people say, well, God can never forgive me. Yes, He can. Is there anything too hard for me? No. So in closing this morning, do you long for that joy again? I hope your heart is crying out to God this morning, restore me, God. Restore me, God. There's another psalm that David writes. In Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, it says, blessed. Blessed also means happy. Want to be happy this morning? Okay. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Amen. You know, when you go and you wrong somebody, and then you go and you apologize, you get it right, everything's restored, you get joy back in that relationship. The same thing here. Blessed is he that whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Have you been forgiven? Do you know the joy of salvation? Have you ever experienced it? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Or you say that's something you're still working on? If you say you're still working on it, you need to be saved today. You need to understand that Jesus, that God sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. He lived a perfect life. He took the place of you on that cross and died for your sins. Was buried, and on the third day He rose again to show that He has power over death and power over sin. And He has the power to forgive sins. And now He sits on the right hand of God to offer the gift to you. Have you ever prayed the prayer of forgiveness and asked God to save your soul? If not, today, do that. Christian, if you know God, restore. Ask God to restore you today. Ask God to reset your life. Ask God to put gold in those cracks and fix you so you're usable again. Have you been forgiven? Your joy will return as you return to the Lord, confessing your sins. Be restored today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time, Lord. I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts and work in our hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray that someone here does not know You as Savior, Lord, as we start singing, Lord, they'll come forward and we'll show them from Your Word the truth of salvation, that they can experience that joy. Father, for us that don't know the joy because we've lost it, Lord, restore that today. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in us. And help us, Lord, leave this place cleansed and fit for Your use. We give You this time. We ask that Your Holy Spirit have full reign here. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen. Oh.